And welcome to a very late edition of the Pure Opelka podcast. Mike Opelka here. Sorry, but life got in the way. Before we get to today's review of some of the news, let's look at what happened on this day back in the day. 1862, Washington, D.C. abolished slavery. 1917, Lenin returned to Russia to start the Bolshevik Revolution. Annie Oakley hit 100 clay targets in a row on this date in 1922. That was a record for a woman at the time. It has happened many times since then. In 1929, the Cleveland Indians were the first team in Major League Baseball to put numbers on the backs of their uniforms on this date. 1947, Bernard Baruch is popularizing the term Cold War. And many of us believe we are still in a Cold War with Russia. Still in a Cold War, a proxy war in many cases, all around the world. In 1956, a little TV history was made when the grape-stomping episode of I Love Lucy aired. If you haven't seen it, go to YouTube. Look up I Love Lucy, grape-stomping. You will laugh. You will thank me. On this date in 2020, residents of Taneytown, Maryland, were advised, please wear pants when you're going out to check the mail. You got to remember, this was the early days of the pandemic. People were at home. They were going outside, getting their mail. And I guess they were getting a little fed up and a little kooky with all of it. Crazy times. Do you remember everything that happened in the pandemic? I have a stack of notebooks. We should go through them one day. Perhaps we will. A few things on the headlines. Yes, we have the Trump trial ongoing in New York. The Stormy Daniels trial, where Alvin Bragg is trying to create law in order to shut down Donald Trump. And I will tell you, it worked today because Joe Biden was campaigning in Scranton, Pennsylvania, while Donald Trump had to be stuck in a courtroom. It's not fair. And really, the case that is created out of air by Alvin Bragg has been mocked by so many very intelligent legal scholars. But the left, they don't care. They don't care. Anybody who can take down the orange man, they're happy about it. And over at NBC, MSNBC is particularly happy about it. They're actually nutty. And some might say, well, certifiably so. Ari Melber tied Donald Trump to Al Capone and El Chapo in his description of the trial and the series of events Donald Trump is facing.
The challenge you see in any case of a high-profile nature is always about whether people are overly prejudiced from what happened. But we don't ever say that means you don't get a trial or you're let off scot-free. El Chapo was notorious. Al Capone was notorious. So I don't mean to say that they're the same. I just mean to say that people heard a lot of things.
I don't mean to say they're the same, but, you know, I said they're the same, basically. They're nuts, these people. Nicole Wallace, who used to be a Republican, now she is drinking the Kool-Aid by the gallon, and she's on MSNBC every single day. They issued a trigger warning before they played Donald Trump's comments after leaving the courthouse. A trigger warning.
Let me just tell our viewers, so I don't startle them, what we're doing. We have made a decision on this first day that if Donald Trump comes out and starts talking, we might want to listen to him for a little bit. We're going to do something. We're going to do it together. I promise we're going to come out of this if he starts lying or threatening people. This is Donald Trump.
I promise we'll cut away if he starts lying. We'll get through this together. We have a support group. And then there is Joy Reid, the racist in primetime on MSNBC. Everywhere she looks, she sees racism, even when it's not there. And she's so happy that a black prosecutor is bringing Donald Trump into a courtroom. She's gushing about it.
There is something wonderfully poetic about the fact that despite the fact that even if convicted, he's not going to go to prison, the first person to actually criminally prosecute Donald Trump is a black Harvard grad, and a black woman is doing that same exact thing in Georgia, and a black woman forced you to pay $175 million fine. Go DEI. My DEIs are bringing it home.
Go DEI. Go DEI. These people, they literally are crazy. Insane. What's that, Mr. Trump?
Are we going crazy?
No, it's not us. It's MSNBC. They're the ones who are going crazy. So frustrating. So very, very frustrating. And now the trial will be going and this is jury selection right now. Probably take another 3 or 4 days. I think they have 5 jurors picked already, and they have to run through another group, and each side gets to say, no, not that one, not that one. Then they get a certain number of cards to throw at people and say, you're out of here. I wish they'd let Donald Trump stand up and say, you're fired from jury duty. You can go. No, that hasn't happened. There was a new Associated Press poll about this case, and only 1 in 3 Americans, only 1 in 3 Americans think that Donald Trump acted illegally. Only 1 in 3, 35% actually, so it's a little more than 1 in 3, and said he acted illegally. Only 1 in 3. There are 31% said it was unethical what he did, but not illegal. And 14% said nothing wrong at all. So you have the greatest number of voters don't think anything was legally wrong with what Donald Trump did. But, you know, we're going to still go ahead and prosecute because it's going to keep him off the campaign trail. I wonder if we're going to have an opportunity to have a debate. I really wonder. No big news out of a retaliation strike out of Israel. I will tell you that. We're still waiting to hear. There are all kinds of reports and stories that say the Biden administration knew how much Iran was going to throw at Israel and that Israel was kind of prepared to take it on. And now Israel is going to retaliate, but in a very focused and small effort. But then came the story later today that Hamas can only account for about 20 of the suspected 130 hostages remaining. Only 20. What is Israel to do? Some of those hostages are Americans. What is America to do? What? I know John Fetterman is still standing tall with Israel. I give John Fetterman props for his stance on Israel.
You don't have to agree. You don't have to agree with every leader's views. But, you know, we have an opportunity to stand with Israel in this situation. And that's what I've decided to do.
Good. I'm very happy about that. Very happy. And I hope he continues standing with Israel. He also came out and had a statement on Twitter X today about the April 15th protesters who shut down bridges and roads all around America. You had Chicago, Miami, New York, Philadelphia, Oakland. You had San Francisco. You had these protesters, highly organized, very well funded, maybe Soros, who knows. And they were shutting down thoroughfares, major traffic arteries. And Fetterman came out very strongly against these people. And it said, it doesn't make you a hero, it makes you an a-hole. Although he didn't censor it. I'm very interested in his recent turn. Did his brain rewire itself? I hope so. It kind of feels like that. Speaking of Chicago, where the protests blocked O'Hare Airport, what a terrible thing to do. What if somebody was flying home to get medical treatment? What if somebody was flying home to say goodbye to a relative who was dying and they missed their flight because of this? The protesters who are anti-Israel, pro-Palestine, were also taught in classes over the weekend. The protesters being taught to chant death to Israel. Here's a sound from inside one of the training sessions. This is in Chicago, Illinois.
I'm going to teach you a chant in Persian that you can use if you ever encounter those Zionist freaks. You're going to say, Marg Bar.
Marg Bar.
Marg Bar Israel.
Marg Bar Israel.
It can mean death to or down with. So
can we get a Marg Bar America?
We can get a Marg Bar America. Yes, we can. Marg Bar America.
Marg Bar America.
So you had a person then, they're saying, can we get a Marg Bar America to say death to America? In Chicago, Illinois, they're teaching people to say death to Israel and death to America. And this administration will not stand up and say it's wrong. They're still basically silent on what happened in Dearborn, Michigan 2 weekends ago, where you had people screaming death to America. They're silent because they want their votes. It's really kind of scary and freaky. I know. Robert Kennedy Jr. saying he's going to be on the ballot in all 50 states coming up 202 days from now. Robert Kennedy Jr. claiming he doesn't have to run as a libertarian because he's going to make it. He's found a way. They figured it out. And because Kennedy will probably pull votes more from Joe Biden than from Donald Trump, the anti-Trump crazies at the Lincoln Project have gone after Robert Kennedy. These are people who claim to be Republicans, but they hate Trump. They have really bad Trump derangement syndrome. And they have now gone after Robert Kennedy Jr. They put out a new ad. It's unbelievable.
John Kennedy was a profiling courage. Robert Kennedy spoke to our better angels, tragic leaders who were the best of America.
Ask what you can do for your country.
Robert Kennedy Jr. is a different kind of tragedy. A longtime heroin addict, Kennedy's an anti-vaxxer extremist who thinks all vaccines are dangerous.
There's no vaccine that is, you know, safe and effective.
No vaccines? Bring back polio, measles, whooping cough.
COVID-19, there's some argument that it is ethnically targeted.
Ethnically targeted? That's racist and crazy. If you believe COVID was a conspiracy, if you're an anti-vaxxer, RFK Jr. is your guy.
There's no vaccine that is, you know, safe and effective.
RFK Jr., a right-wing nut.
Think about that. The Lincoln Project just labeled RFK Jr. a right-wing nut. One of the biggest libs out there. And just for the record, it's been 41 years since he had a heroin problem. 41 years. Think about that. Kind of amazing. 41 years. And yet the Lincoln Project is so worried that Donald Trump will get another term. They're doing anything they can to smear Kennedy in order to pull votes away from him to help Joe Biden. Imagine that. And they call themselves Republicans. Really crazy. Really crazy. Today on the 5 on Fox, they were talking about Joe Biden and talking about Gavin Newsom. There still are whispers that Biden, once the convention is gaveled in this summer in Chicago, that Biden may find a way to step aside and the Democrats would move Gavin Newsom into that spot as their candidate. And Newsom apparently gave an interview recently where he mentioned Prevagen, you know, the drug that's supposed to help seniors with their memories. And today, Piers Morgan on the 5 was talking about the Prevagen story and Biden, and he brought up a really interesting point that I had never heard about Prevagen.
So Prevagen is quite interesting because it has all the normal side effects, you know, headache, nausea and stuff, but it can also, in certain people, it can have the exact opposite effect, apparently, what it's supposed
really?
To do. Yeah. So my theory is that Biden may have actually been on Prevagen, and Gavin Newsom knows this, because if you have the reverse syndrome, which only a small number of people get, apparently you can have cognitive impairment, memory lapses, and confusion. One user on Amazon said, I had concentration blackouts where all of a sudden, it's like I just woke up and was totally lost and I had no idea where I was. So my theory is that he's let slip to Newsom, hence the mentioning of Prevagen, that he's been on it, but he's having the reverse effect, which only afflicts small number of people.
So interesting. Wouldn't that be interesting if Joe Biden was taking a supplement, drug, whatever you want to call Prevagen, and it was having the reverse effect on him? I am laughing because I do think it's wonderfully ironic and hilarious. Yeah, the Prevagen story. We've joked about it for 2 years now, and apparently it's real. It's very, very real. Oh, boy. The great author and inspiration Jim Stovall is joining us today as well. I said it's a late podcast, an abbreviated podcast. We'll be back tomorrow, plus Thursday radio live from 9 a.m. to noon East Coast time. I'll be on the radio in Minnesota. I'll post a link on PureOpelka.com. And Dr. Roizen will be joining us on Thursday instead of Wednesday. Lauren Fix, the car coach, who has a great piece out there with John Stossel about the cars with the kill switches. She's going to join us tomorrow, so you have to stay tuned for that. But right now, it looks like we have Jim Stovall, one of my favorite people ever. Jim Stovall is a blind guy who's written more than 50 books. I think he's over 70 now. Jim has also created the Narrative Television Network, which helps blind people enjoy movies and TV. And he travels the world giving speeches. And every week he writes the Winner's Wisdom column that is posted at jimstovall.com. And we talk about it, get inspiration. And Jim Stovall, I am so thrilled you are here, my friend. Welcome back.
Always good to be with you. And I got worn out just listening to your introduction there.
I know. I got tired talking about all the success you've had. Do you ever get tired of the success, Jim?
No, I don't. I'm very thankful for it, and I appreciate it. But every time a new book comes out or a new movie, you're only as good as your last thing, you know. And I am very grateful for it.
It's not work, is it, Jim?
Oh no. I long time ago quit trading my time for someone else's money, and then what's amazing is. That's when I really started building a lot of wealth. I'm very, very grateful for the life I live, and I don't know anybody I would trade places with.
Well, that's excellent. I love to hear that. And I feel the same about radio. It's been so good to me, and I haven't worked a single day in radio, and it's been 30 years. Let's talk about work, though, Jim. Let's talk about work, and let's talk about this week's column headline, It's My Problem.
Well, you know, we have gotten very defined in our job descriptions and our roles and the HR people and all that. And, you know, one of the sad things I see about that is people, they stay in their own lane, and heaven help you if you're broken down in the other lane. They're just not going to get over there. And, you know, they'll quickly tell you, this isn't my table. It's not my job. It's not my responsibility. I don't do that. But every once in a while, you find some superstars. Those are the people that down the road are going to rule the universe. And these are people that understand we are here to create value for other people, care about them, and solve their problems. And a lot of your listeners know that several months ago, I lost my father. And a lot of things has to happen after that, as you know. And, you know, just paperwork and estates and taxes and all the things that are going on. And I have been working with a gentleman at Merrill Lynch for many, many years, and he's been a great friend and colleague. And, you know, none of this is his problem. None of this is remotely in his list of responsibilities. But he got together my team, my accountant, my lawyer, everybody. We met at his place. He lined it all out in the schedule, and he and his team have done things that just so above and beyond the call of duty. And you appreciate that. And if you think back in your life of the things in your personal, professional life that someone has done for you and that really sticks with you, it was the unexpected thing. I mean, you know, when you get a card or a gift around the holidays or a note, that's one thing. But what do you get in like mid-July and just send somebody something and, you know, totally unexpected, or, you know, people that will just go the extra mile. I'm a huge fan of Napoleon Hill, and one of his great things is going the extra mile. Or my mentor, Coach Wooden's thing, what would I do right now if I were amazing? And in half the time you're taking to explain to me, it's not your job, it's not your problem, this isn't my table, you could have gotten what I asked for. Just make it happen. I am so enamored by that. Reagan said it best. I think he said, we can accomplish anything if we don't care who gets the credit. And the converse of that is so true now, which is we cannot solve a problem if we're all focused on who we want to blame. if that's your whole mission, is finding someone to blame it on, we're not going to solve the problem. Let's go solve the problem. We succeed in life when we help other people solve their problems.
All of this is such great advice and such positive advice. And I get so angry and frustrated when I hear people say, it's not my job or not my problem. But if it's something you can solve, and if it's something that advances everybody's cause, what does it cost you? Seriously. And it's typically stuff like picking something up off the floor. Hey, why don't you pick that up? Well, that's not my job. I know, but it's there and you're there. And would it kill you to do it? And that's the answer. This is always woven into, Jim, what you talk about, when you talk about what people do when nobody's watching. Usually the people that are doing what you expect them to do when nobody's watching are the same people who step up in the situation and do something that's beyond their typical list of responsibilities, like your Merrill Lynch buddy there. It's such a great dream for us to see America returning to that thinking. I hope it happens. And I guess we all have to be responsible for helping get it started.
You're absolutely right. Our parents or grandparents would be amazed that this is even a conversation. That was just a given. You just do all you can, the best you can every day, and instead of making an excuse, just make a way. I was having dinner not long ago with a fairly well-known author and speaker, and a woman comes over to us and asked if she could have our respective autographs. She had one of my books, and I said, hand me that. I'd be proud to. And my colleague across the table launches into a thing, well, we're having dinner here. And when we're at dinner, you shouldn't interrupt. I had already signed the woman's book, thanked her very much. And he, you know, it would have been just faster and easier. Just sign the woman's book. Someone's paying you a great compliment. It's easier to do what they are asking than to come up with a dumb excuse.
And it would have been done, as you said, over and done. And I already moved on. It's so simple to do. It's a great column this week, as every week. And now here's how you get Jim Stovall's column sent to your email inbox. You go to jimstovall.com and you just sign up, and it shows up in your inbox every week. You read it, and then you hang out with me, and Jim and I get to break it down each and every week. Jim, as always, as usual, thanks for going the extra mile with me every week. I so appreciate it.
My thanks to you. You're the one that makes it happen in out there in Opelka land, so I appreciate it.
And there he goes. And here I go. I'll be back tomorrow with more, like I said, Lauren Fix, then Thursday, Dr. Roizen. I'll be live in Minnesota from 9 a.m. to noon East Coast time. Then Saturday, two shows, D.C. and Philadelphia. It's going to be a crazy week, and we'll be here for all of it. Till next time, testudo, my friends. Testudo.